weekday on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
Now, I want to get back to the rally yesterday down there opposite the hospital, Freedom Park or whatever, and the numbers. This is an interesting one. I'll just say, I'll read briefly from the Cairns Post, the coverage under the heading, Rally Calls for Change on Crime. And Timothy Little wrote that hundreds of survivors and fed-up residents gathered to rally against sexual violence and escalating crime rates. Many young adults, it says here in the Cairns Post, also attended the rally, saying they just wanted to feel safe in their city, and they pleaded with politicians to drive more change. Here's the quote from one young rally attender. Quote, the politicians make empty promises in one way or another. We want to get our voices heard, said one teenager who went on to say this. I will scream until my throat is bloody and raw. That's passion for you. So the young are suffering as the middle-aged and older are suffering. We're all suffering this plague of juvenile crime. We've got to find some answers. Now, Bree James is there in the coverage there this morning. There she is. Actually, she's the middle photo, I think. There it is. And she is the she's next to the Queensland Youth Justice Corrective Services Minister, Laura Gerber. She's with me on that. Yeah, she is member for Barron River on the line. Bree James, good morning and congratulations for getting along there. Talk to me about your presence and what you felt about it.
John, it was a place of, you know, deep anger, but also, you know, people were scared. They were there because they've had enough. And, you know, I door knocked thousands of homes when I was a candidate. Mm. And I've heard from thousands of victims of crime as I was a candidate. And it's one of the big reasons that I stepped up to run for the seat of Barron River is because of the ridiculous amount of crime in our region. It's absolutely ruining our beautiful city.
Why is the juvenile justice system not working?
Well, we did make big changes to the juvenile justice system. 10 years ago, Labor watered down the youth justice laws, and that's why we have a generation of these serious repeat youth offenders who, you know that they could, back then, that they could get away with it. So now we've got 78 hardcore repeat youth offenders in Cairns, and our laws are going to make a difference. So the adult time for adult crime. I'm just so pleased that we got that in before Christmas, you know, because otherwise what that horrific event that happened last Friday, about 10 days ago, you know, they'd be getting half the sentence. You know, now it's life. They're up for potential life in prison for what they've done.
If there's 78 hardcore youth offenders, 78 known hardcore youth re-offenders, why can't they be got off the streets to give us some peace from these thugs?
Yeah, well, it has been that revolving door.
Yes.
And that's where the problem has lied. So, you know, the police are doing a fantastic job. I really want to commend all of our amazing police men and women that are out in the streets every day charging these youth criminals. They are very happy with the laws that have been changed. So we just need the judges now to get through the cases and, you know, give the justice that the community's after.
Well, what directions have the judges and magistrates been given to change the immediate situations? For example, when each of these 78 hardcore youth offenders appear before them, if they're rounded up, it'll probably be in the next 2 or 3 weeks, such as the frequency of their crimes and the seriousness of their crimes. What'll make the magistrates and the judges in those cases give worthwhile sentences that keep them off the streets for an extended period of time?
Well, when Labor reduced those, you know, made bail a detention as a last resort, the magistrates were strong. They had to do all of these other things before they could actually impose a sentence of detention on these youth. So that's the problem. So the laws had to be changed because that's what the magistrates use to impose sentences, is the law. So because detention was a last resort, that's why we had that revolving door. That's why we have the youth crime crisis. That's why we have this, you know, generation of untouchables, because the laws weren't there to protect the community. They were there to, you know, support that that agenda of not putting children into jail. So, but now we have all of these kids that are creating, you know, trauma on our people, on people that don't deserve to have that. sort of thing happen in their own home, that everyone deserves to feel safe in this community and especially safe in their own home. So we have changed the laws, John, and now the laws have been changed so the judges can impose tougher sentences. But the thing that I like the most is that, when these kids do get out of jail now, their criminal record and their criminal history stays with them. So before, once they turned 18, it was gone. So if they committed a crime at 19, all of that criminal history from their youth can't be seen by a judge. But we've changed that law as well. Mm. So now if you're committing crimes, it's going to follow you for life, which, the crimes that they're committing on some of these people, it's following them for life. So it's only fair that a judge can see all of the past history, so it's not just a clean slate once they turn 18.
I've got to admit, 13, 14-year-olds couldn't give a damn about tomorrow, let alone when they're 18 or 19. It's they're living for today. They have no restraint whatsoever because the law still isn't applying restraints to them mentally anyway. They're certainly not showing any signs of slowing down in their pursuit of crime that's making lives a misery for so many people. How long do you think, Bree, these changes to legislation are going to see a genuine reduction, a dramatic reduction in crime?
What I will say, John, is that we won't stop. We will keep making the laws stronger until we get the results that we need for the community. So we're not, our Premier and our team will not weaken the laws like the previous government. We're going to keep continuing to make the laws stronger. We've got the second tranche of laws for making safer Queensland coming out as well. So Jack's Law is one of them. Mm. And that was legislation named in honour of Queensland teenager Jack Beasley, who was stabbed and killed on the Gold Coast.
Yes.
So that law now will allow police to use handheld metal detectors without a warrant in shopping centres and sporting events and things like that. So that's going to be included in the next tranche of laws. Daniel's Law is another one, which means there'll be a public sex offender registry. So that's really important so that, we know those that in our community, they shouldn't have, be worried about those public sex offenders living in anonymity. We're going to shine a light on that as well. But we've got a committee currently working on the other things that need to be included. But our whole focus is on fewer victim numbers. It's going to take time to reduce the crime plague on our city. It took a decade to create it. But we are going to continue to keep working on this. But it's also about, rehabilitation and prevention as well, John, because, these kids, many of them have drug addictions, many of them have fetal alcohol syndrome and untested cognitive disabilities as well. So, right now, the previous government had 72 hours of care, but most often than not, it was less than that. But we're going to do a 12-month program. So if they are in detention, when they leave detention, they'll be going to another facility where they'll have 12 months of a program, an intensive program, so that we can break that that cycle of reoffending as well.
Actually, that's encouraging because you're not letting the shortcoming, the FA, fetal alcohol syndrome, or the family situation or whatever, become an excuse for what's going on. You're saying, yeah, that's fine. Once that's detected, and obviously long-term detention in some sort of prison facility isn't appropriate, but you're not putting them back on the street. Now, that's going to take a while to get organised, probably a year or two, but at least that is the target, I'm presuming.
That's our target, absolutely. We need to do that preventative. We need to do, we need to combat the crime that we're feeling right now in our communities, and that's why we've got adult time, adult crime. But it is also about that rehabilitation and those programs so that we break the cycle and we don't create another generation after them
exactly.
as well.
Exactly. Don't go away. I know it's not mainly a police issue, our crime thing. It's the lack of effectiveness of our juvenile justice system, the judges and magistrates, etc. However, this is encouraging. Page 3, Cairns Post today, Samuel Davis wrote, more specialist police officers will be on the beat in Cairns and across Queensland as part of a more than $30 million funding boost set to be announced by the state government today. Now, this increased investment is going to target crime hotspots, Cairns and Townsville, of course, across the state, and builds on Premier David Crisafulla's commitment to bolster the state flying squad, which provides additional police surge capacity. Thank God, because we have situations at night. I hear from the restaurateurs and people at the nightclubs, these kids gather in gangs and they are terrifying. We need coppers on the beat, and we need them to be probably tough coppers too. But it goes on to say increased visibility, in public spaces and in shopping centres, along with retail and restaurant precincts, expected to drive down offending, said Dan Purdy. He said, quote, "We promised Queenslanders we'd bolster our police service, and that's exactly what we are doing." Look, it's all it sounds great. Bolstering by what sort of numbers, and how effective can the bolstering be, and when, Bree James?
Look, we're making some announcements this afternoon with Minister Dan Purdy, which is very exciting. You know, we will keep investing in our police. We will keep investing in the flight squads so that they can go to those crime hotspots. We will keep investing in police and everything that we need on the ground. So, but this $31.1 million in additional funding for high-visibility police operations is going to target those high-crime locations to restore community safety. That'll have boosted patrols that it's going to disrupt and deter offending and drive down victims of crime as well. So having dedicated police presence in those crime hotspots like shopping centres, businesses, retail and restaurants and precincts like that is going to be, you know, like a really big help to our hardworking police.
Oh, gee, that was quick. Comes up on my screen. Dan Purdy just called through. He's available tomorrow on this program. That was snappy service.
You're very lucky, John. All of the ministers are actually in Far North Queensland.
Oh,
right,
is that what
now,
it was?
The community cabinet. So, you know, we've been talking to, we had community cabinet yesterday in Cairns at Brothers Leagues Club, and we had a lot of the ministers talking to lots of different organisations and community groups and leaders in our community and just everyday people that had a view that they wanted to share with our 19 ministers. So that was yesterday, and today we're listening to our councils here in Cairns and all of our councillors, and community cabinet's really been a great thing, and it just shows our government's commitment to Far North Queensland, because they started, their very first community cabinet is in Far North Queensland, which has been fantastic. So our government is listening. We know there's been a huge problem. We've been campaigning on it for years before we became in this privileged position to be your government. But just rest assured, we are working really hard every day so that we can try and turn this around, and we'll continue to do so.
Just one last point, because I was really moved by the last couple of paragraphs from Timothy Little in the Cairns Post today. Many young adults also attended yesterday's rally, saying they just wanted to feel safe in their city, and they pleaded with politicians to drive more change. Here's the quote from one teenager. "The politicians make empty promises. In one way or another, we want to get our voices heard," said the teenager, who went on to say this, "I will scream until my throat is bloody and raw." They're raw emotions, and these young people mean business. They've had a gutful of this, not being able to walk out of their home without being threatened by 13-year-old kids carrying knives. Now, you're an excellent communicator, Bree James. I'm sure you've been told that on numerous occasions. Yesterday, when you heard these speakers on stage, talk to me about the emotion involved, not just because you're a local member, but you were out in the streets. You probably feel more vulnerable, like many women do, than men. Talk to me about the emotion you felt yesterday when you heard about the plight of so many of these victims.
John, I've been hearing the plight of these victims for a long time, but yesterday having everyone in one collective place to talk about them, you know, hearing from women that have been raped in our community, hearing from women that have been held up at knife point just walking to and from work, you know, hearing from men that have, you know, had to try and defend their family because they've been, you know, victims of crime. It was heart-wrenching. It was, you know, it's always heart-wrenching, John. Like every time I hear these stories, it's just, you know, the businesses that are impacted, the communities that are impacted, our elderly that are impacted.
Yes.
It's really heartbreaking, and I feel their pain, and I am fighting every day for our region so that we can get it back to where it was, a safe community. I mean, crime will always exist in every community, but not like the plague proportions that we have here.
Yeah.
And to the young woman that says that, you know, politicians aren't doing anything and politicians aren't listening, I refute that. You know, I'm listening every single day, and we have taken action. We said we'd change the laws, and we did it within 100 days of forming government. We have, you know, we are doing everything that we've said that we would, and we are continuing to work on those as well.
Very well said today, Bree James. Thank you.
No, thank you. And thank you to your listeners for sharing all of their stories as well. But you have our government's commitment, you have Terry James's commitment and David Kempton's commitment and my commitment that, you know, when we changed the laws, the sad thing was, Terry, we had MPs on the other side of the back of the, you know, the left side from Labor crying, threatening to quit politics because of what we were doing. And they were yelling abuse at us in that chamber room. And, you know, when they were leaving that room after the laws passed, they were pointing at us saying, shame on you.
Really?
Shame on you. And we have no shame for what we have done. We know that we've done the right thing. We know there's a long way to go and that more laws need to be changed. And we won't stop until the laws are in the place and that the crime drops and the victim numbers drop and our community can feel safe again.
Oh, well, well. What a bizarre expose that last sentence is carried with it. We'll have to take that up on another day. Bree, thank you for sharing those words with us today and congratulations.
Thank you, John.
Bree James is the state member for the LNP for the seat of Barron River.